confirming what is going on. Luis Ortiz under investigation by Major League Baseball, placed on paid leave. Jeff, without going to just into speculation on
jumping
the rest of
into
that,
conclusions.
It's just interesting because, you know, we sat here this morning. We're like, well, we were going to talk about the Guardians and some of the offseason moves that they had made, and Ortiz felt like it was a good one, you know, especially in the beginning where it didn't feel good when the season started. And then once the season started, man, he turned the corner pretty quick, and you were like, wow, that was a really good move by Chernoff and Antonetti to get that done. It just kind of, as we kind of harken back a little bit on some of the offseason moves that they made, and now that we're at the midway point of the season, it's hard not to say, could they have invested more? And it's hard not to look at Naylor, Josh, and say, why? Why?
Still wonder that, don't you?
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, I think I know why. Because it's more of a clubhouse fit than anything else. I think that's from all the things that we had heard and kind of gathered, I think that's the best way to...
Well, nothing else makes sense, Andy.
Agree.
Nothing else makes sense.
But it does seem odd to have a clubhouse fit that didn't work.
When your brother's there.
Yes. Like, that's the most difficult part of that, I think, of the story. And we're all sitting here playing Wheel of Regret with Naylor right now. Especially for a team that, you know, you got two guys that are hitting 300 or hovering around 300. And you lose another tough one last night. You're 12.5 back on the Tigers. That seems like 10,000 miles away.
It does.
The Twins are now technically in second place by a percentage point. The Guardians at 476 with a 40-44 record. Twins at 477 with a 41-45 record. And so, you know, the Royals are right there behind. You're only a game and a half above the Royals for fourth place. And I know it's early to look at some of these things, but I do think it drives your decision-making as you get closer to the trade deadline, as you get closer to the All-Star game, and you ask yourself, all right, what are we doing here, and how does this affect our future, and can the future be now? Because, I don't even know, you know, what does this Ortiz thing do to set back the rotation?
I think he's done a nice job. He looks like a guy... from a baseball standpoint, that you think, okay, they found a guy who's going to be in this rotation for a while. And now we'll see what this investigation is all about and what it leads to and what it means for his future, not just short term, but even long term. You know, who knows what this is about? So let's figure this out and go. In the meantime, Joey Cantillo gets a start. I've wanted to see Joey Cantillo in the rotation for some time. So here's his opportunity. I think Joey's at a make-or-break point for this team. He did really well coming out of the bullpen. They sent him down to stretch him out. He hasn't been stretched out that much. He hasn't thrown a whole lot of innings in Columbus. But he'll get the start tonight, and we'll see what he can do, Andy. Because, you know, if he shows something the rest of this year, or just short-term, he gives them an option. And let's look big picture. Shane Bieber's, you know, rehabbing from the Tommy John surgery. They hope to activate him at some point this year. Well, depending on what's up with Ortiz, if Cantillo can fill a rotation spot, that gives you six starters. Screams trade.
Trade who, though?
That's the question. I truly would look to trade Shane Bieber if Shane doesn't want to pick up his option here for next year.
Yeah, you're kind of where you were a year ago, right? And how many? We spent days talking about what are they going to do? They're going to lose him. They better trade him. They better get some. And then he got hurt. And then you're like, oh, well, this kind of pushes everything off for a while.
I just, to go back to your original point, moves were made this year that I think for the first time in a while. And our organization has done a great job of trading players at the right time. And getting players back who you might not know, but who you eventually come to love. We've seen that happen time and time and time again with this front office. This time they traded players that you knew, and you thought, wow, why did you make that move? You know, you understood why they traded guys in the past. It was pretty clear. The Josh Naylor move is still befuddling. And then to turn around and bring in Carlos Santana, who's done a real solid job. I wouldn't say stunning job, but solid. And to pay him more than the Diamondbacks are paying Josh this year screams there was something else going on there. But I don't think it's helped your offense at all. If I had to pick one bat over the other, I'd take Josh Naylor. I think everybody would. If you would take leadership, well, maybe you'd take Carlos Santana. But Josh also had an energy about him that I thought was infectious.
Agree.
And or contagious, whichever way you want to. Which word do you like better?
Infectious
or contagious?
Infectious.
Okay. I thought he had some juice. Second time I've used that today. I thought he had some juice that rubbed off on the rest of the guys. This team looks flat, Andy. It looks terribly flat. It's not wildly entertaining. I wish it were. You know, last year I thought they played really entertaining baseball. This year it's like, wow, what can you do today, fellas? Anything?
And is this hangover from last year then?
No, our expectations are all right. No, you know what it is? It's expectations over a body of work for Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff. And it's a good body of work. I mean, they've consistently put competitive baseball teams on the field. So at least right now, and I think this team is capable of playing better baseball. But right now, Andy, this is not what we're used to seeing out of these guys. And I'm sure that they're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, this isn't what we do. How can we fix it? And I think they are closing in on selling off just about any piece they can to bring in young talent. And they're real close to having me say, and I'm not going to speak for you, they're real close to having me say, that's what they should do.
Let me throw this one at you because I don't think that maybe we've lost a little perspective. Dan, I want your thoughts on this too. They've lost six in a row, right?
Longest losing streak of the season.
Look who they've lost to, though. You know, in that streak that started against the Jays, now in first place in the East. Cubs are, what, first place in the Central? And Cardinals are just a couple games back.
Well, do you want to compete for a playoff spot, or you just want to beat up on the weak teams?
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, are we, again, as I said yesterday, are we not looking at the opposition? I talked about the pitching, but in general, you're getting beat, but you're getting beat by teams that are also having success this season.
All right. Except,
is that wrong? Is that wrong to look at it that way?
It's not wrong, but it's not complete.
In July, I don't know if that's such a problem.
It's not complete. You know why?
Why?
You've watched enough baseball. You know, I know, Dan knows. We can see when guys are overmatched. Guardians hitters have been overmatched. And it hasn't really mattered whether the pitcher has been from a good team or a bad team. They've been overmatched way too often this year. I mean, this team's not producing hitting talent right now. It's that simple. The scary part is, look in the system. Where are those bats going to come from? There are a few names. We've been harping on those names. Chase DeLauder.
We'll talk about him in a second. But
CJ Cephas. Ralph Velasquez, who's in A-ball. Ralph was a first-round draft choice.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't even mentioned Travis Bezzana, because Travis Bezzana's out with an injury.
We'd be screaming for him right now, wouldn't we?
Well, depends on what he'd be doing.
If he was hitting. Dan, again, I bring that same kind of argument that I had yesterday about, hey, do you tip your cap to the pitchers they've been seeing? In this scenario, do you tip your cap to this in this losing streak that you're looking at, you know?
Stephen Vogt tips his cap a lot. Have you heard him say that?
Yeah, did you ever see him tip that cat?
He's good for one.
I feel bad for the cat.
Tip of the cap.
I really do.
Yeah.
The Cubs are, you know, Cubs are in first place. They got a 3-game lead on the Brewers.
Andy likes cats.
It's not that I don't like them. I'm just allergic to them, so they're difficult for me. Blue Jays and Yankees are tied for first in the East. I mean, do we give credit to the teams they're losing to? Is that fair? Can you do that and say, okay, I can kind of understand. Look, we're playing. It's almost like the Cavaliers, right? We said this constantly about the Cavaliers in the beginning of the season when they were having great success. It's like, seems to be like we're running up against these teams at the right time.
But they beat them. But they beat them.
Right, they beat them, but we also, we've got a little bit of luck of the draw. These baseball teams are playing good baseball right now. You with me on this?
So I'm doing quick math.
Yeah.
Nice. Which I know it's my understanding that there is no math on
there
this show.
There is no math on this
I know,
show.
But I'm doing my best here. So against the doldrums of like the worst teams in baseball. So I've pulled up the records off of Baseball Reference up here of every opponent that they've gone up against so far. Right,
right. Right.
So the Orioles, they went 1-2. Yeah, I'd call the Orioles a mess this year.
They are.
So that's one win. So the Athletics, will throw them in there. So that's three wins.
Okay, good.
The White Sox, that's three more wins, so that's six.
Thank goodness for the White Sox.
The Royals, that's four wins, so that's two. I'd put the Royals in the doldrums, right? Would you guys put them there?
We're about to be in the same pool as them because we keep getting a little bit closer.
So that's 12. We should do this in the break. This is not good radio.
No, it's good. We love hearing you count.
They went 500 against the Angels. They're in the doldrums.
One.
The Twins, maybe you toss the Twins. I don't know if the Twins are totally in the doldrums. They're in the same spot.
They're
as us. Really
we're in the
are.
Same pool. We're like, we're in the kiddie pool.
I don't think you can use that one. I don't think it's this stretch that you're in recently is the cause of the trend. I mean, goodness, you were 9-16 in June. You were 14-13 in May. And, you know, it's not like you can really point to anything and go, yes, it's the quality of the opponent that's causing this. Does it have something to do with it? Sure, maybe a smidge. But, like, the fact that you can't hit water if you fell out of a boat has more to do with it than anything.
Let me get here. Does Chase DeLauder do anything for you? If they bring him up, do you feel like all of a sudden, wow, this is great. This weekend's going to be more than just fireworks on Friday night. Man, this is going to be, I feel like the turn is coming for a team that has lost six in a row. Ouch. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. So we're kind of just digging in on the Guardians right now and trying to look ahead to what is next for this team. And
can I answer your question that you left us with?
Yes.
At the end of the last segment?
Yes.
No, Chase DeLauder coming up would not get me all warm and fuzzy that all of a sudden the issues have been solved. Way too much heat to put on a young guy who's had trouble staying healthy in the minors.
I agree with you on that, but what would make you warm and fuzzy? What would change the tone of this team?
Nothing yet other than some wins. I thought it was a good sign. Limited.
Yeah.
Home run Lane Thomas, home run David Fry last night.
But it would be nice if there were a couple guys on base, but yeah, I agree.
Solo home runs. Pitchers are like, all right, well, it's only one.
Yeah.
Those guys, Andy, might be the key to the entire thing. I think there are three guys who are probably the key to the Guardians being able to turn this around.
Okay.
Lane Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
David Fry, Nolan Jones. Those three guys need to start swinging the bat, especially Lane Thomas and David Fry, because their numbers are putrid. Nolan Jones has been okay. Nolan needs to start hitting the ball like he's Willie Mays and not Matty Alou.
Okay, but
old school Alou Brothers reference there.
If he doesn't, Jeff.
Well, you can get rid of him.
How about the same with Lane Thomas?
Well, you could trade either one of those guys. But I think they have some ability, and I'd love to see them both here, Andy. But they have to produce. I mean, when you're on a team full of guys who aren't producing, the guys who are supposed to produce better produce, or you look for somebody else.
Will you buy into the fact that this is just a team funk? I don't think it's a team funk. I think it's real. Like I don't envision something that's going to go on fire here. I just don't see it. I just feel like we got a bunch of guys. No one jumps off the page to me. We got a bunch of guys. That's what we have.
Mansardo fell back
into that pack for me too.
Yeah, I think most of these guys are better than what they've shown this year. I think Lane Thomas has been dinged up a couple of times and his batting average is in the sewer. He's better than that. Is Nolan Jones better than this? I don't know. He's been better. I mean, he had a nice year in Colorado. He's been
better. You liked him when he wasn't here, man. You were in love with him.
Well, I love the concept.
Mm-hmm.
You never should have traded him for a middle infielder, especially a middle infielder who still hasn't made the major leagues. And one who, by the way, could be up here sooner rather than later. If you're going to bring up Chase DeLauter, bring up Juan Brito, too. Put him at second base and let's go.
I do think that if they bring somebody up, it's let him go. I totally agree with that. Like, let's get off the platoon thing. Now, I don't know about the only part about DeLauter is the health issue. Like, okay, we were talking about that and we heard yesterday that, you know, he plays in 5-game stretches and then they give him a rest. But part of that is the design.
They're trying to build him up because he's been injured.
Yeah. And part of that is the design of the way the scheduling changed. I don't know how many years has it been now where they, you know, they do these mega series. But go ahead, Dan.
What do you guys think of the job Chris Antonetti's done to this point?
What do you mean? Ever or this year?
I mean, this year, you were coming off of an ALCS appearance, right? Team, the arrow seemed like it was pointing up. A lot of guys were starting to go the right direction.
They didn't do anything.
A lot of things seemed to click.
They didn't do anything in the offseason to add to a team that went to the ALCS.
You went and brought in Carlos Santana, who's having a Carlos Santana season.
Which didn't quite replace what you gave up in Josh Naylor.
No.
You did bring in two arms that I like.
Correct. Brought in two arms that look good. Slate Ciccone looks good. Luis Ortiz looks good. Nolan Jones so far has been a bust. That's putting it nicely.
And Tyler Freeman, by the way, is on fire in Colorado. But I would have made that trade again.
We thank Lane Thomas until the end of time for the home run that he hit in the playoffs. This season, he's been a bust.
I don't think the moves that they've made this year have clearly worked. And that's rare for this organization because they usually do. I do think Nolan Jones has to start hitting. And if not, then they need to make a decision there. And Lane Thomas has to continue to get going. And David Fry has options. You can't have a DH hitting 150. You just can't do it.
The product of your middle infield plethora that you had going for you has flopped. I mean, nobody's come out of that middle infield group that you're like, yeah, I'm going to stick my teeth into them, and that's somebody that I'm going to have playing shortstop or second base.
That's
for
correct.
A long period of time.
That's correct.
There's the hope of Bazan out there, but that's nothing more than hope. I've got concerns, guys.
Well, I mean, you should have concerns.
It seems like the Chris Antonetti experience, and I love Chris. He's a wonderful guy. But the Chris Antonetti might churn off. There's a lot more swings and misses in there than I think we all want to openly admit.
You said, again, this year, right? You're just saying this year. Are you talking about?
This
because
year.
Because if you go back to 2016, they've made the playoffs 6 times.
Yeah.
They've got a great track record, but this year's team
Up and down. So, so you go to the World Series in 16, then you lose the ALDS, then you lose in the ALDS again. And so now you're in 18. Now in 19, you're out. You're out. You don't make the playoffs. In 20, you come back and make the playoffs. In 21, you're out. In 22, you're in. In 20, it's almost like in odd years, they don't make. You know what I'm saying? It's an odd little fact. In and out, in and out, in and out. And then, are you making a run every 24 months?
With the money they spend, it's tough to sustain success.
But they're able to bounce back the next year.
Well, the issue is, do you have the players in the system who can help you bounce back? Or do you make some trades? They've made good trades. The Naylor trade, not a good trade, even though I like Slade Ciccone. We just don't. There's more to that trade than any of us know.
And they've made some really bad no trades. And I think that's the thing that I keep circling. I keep coming back to the fact that they have had this just bumper crop of middle infielders that they will not get rid of. And they have brought them to the majors, and all of them have flopped to this point. Every single prospects
that's
have
not true.
Flopped.
That's
Who
not
has
true.
Not flopped?
Angel Martinez.
He's playing center field at this point.
I know, but he came up.
So he's been fine. I mean, you can find better than Angel Martinez out there. It's pretty simple.
Exactly. Well, go get him. How do you get him then?
Okay.
That's the point. They drafted a second baseman. It's real clear that there's just a Band-Aid on that position until Travis Bazan is ready to go. Shortstop's a mess because Rocchio didn't hit this year. You thought that Rocchio was going to go ahead and improve, and then he was terrific in the playoffs.
He
looked like your guy forever, and he went and he flopped. And then he went down to Columbus and was okay. He's back. You got to give him some time. His glove is major league caliber. In fact, it's better than major league caliber. It's pretty good. I know he's had some defensive things that haven't gone perfectly. Give Rocchio a look. That's what they're doing right now. They're giving some guys a few looks. My question is, when do you quit giving looks and make decisions?
Right.
And that to me has to happen soon enough, because this season is not a complete loss. You're out of the division. I don't think you're catching the Tigers. I just don't. I think it would be almost a historic run to catch the Tigers. That's not happening. Doesn't mean you can't get into the wild card, be great in the second half of the season, like the Indiana Pacers were, and make a real run. But you have to make some decisions here. They're not making decisions on these guys. Instead, they just keep filtering them in and out and in and out. Hey, John Kenzie. Oh, he's not working. Hey, let's bring up Jonathan Rodriguez. That's John Kenzie Light. Oh, he's not working. Hey, Nolan Jones hits lefties better than righties. Let's platoon him. Why? Give him at-bats. If he can't do it, then get rid of him. Trade him, cut him, whatever you have to do. I mean, it's time to start getting decisions on these guys. Who's going to play second base? Figure it out. Arias is out right now. Put Rocchio at second. Is Schneeman your second baseman? I think he's your super utility guy. I don't know. I'd bring up Juan Brito absolutely as quickly as possible and let him play second base. And if Juan Brito can't do it, I mean, you were so high on him, you gave up Nolan Jones, who was a second-round draft choice and had potential.
What's the worst if they do this now, too, because they're just going to sink the boat? The boat's already taken around water.
I'm okay with that, but it's just, I'm starting to look at some of the products that are coming out, and it's like, okay, we've been banking on this. We've been looking for this. Everything's going the right direction, and we're holding up Angel Martinez, a guy who's hitting .232 with a .255 on base and a .351 slug.
Not saying any of these guys are studs, but he hasn't failed. People have been giddy about him.
And has a negative .2 wins above replacement. I mean,
You said they've all been busts. He hasn't been a bust.
We don't know that yet, but boy, none of them have popped.
Well, and you said he was, so none of them have popped. You can't say that yet, and you're right about that. That's the problem. Who has popped on this team?
These are the questions
Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan. End of story.
All right, let me bring up an old story when we come back, because it has been, I don't know, the better part of how many decades now have we been talking about this, and now it comes back as it's starting to, I don't know, at first I thought the flame was out, and now I feel like it's smoldering, and then I feel like somebody might throw another log on the fire. What am I talking about?
Hey, Andy?
Yeah.
Carlos Santana's been in Cleveland 3 times.
Carlos Santana, LeBron James. The fire is starting to stoke about maybe perhaps a return. I don't know if you're buying it or not. Would you want LeBron James back with the Cavaliers one more time? 216-474-0092, Baskin Phelps 92.3 The Fan.